one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh, well, you
know, I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide, Dead in the Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me, as usual, is Nikki Duse. No. Let me walk that back. Mr. Disrespect. We change everything on this show.
Mr. Disrespect now?
Mr. Disrespect. You know, that's the name FIFO coin, you know, gave you, man. Hey. Mr. Disrespect, a.k.a. Nikki Duse. He's Nikki Duse everywhere, a.k.a. Mr. No Disrespect everywhere. But on here, it's all disrespect coming from this brother.
They might have to call me the truth now. I might have to take Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce has been the lie.
Yeah. Wait, the misconception. That's what Paul Pierce has been lately.
He's been the lie.
Yeah. This is your first full season. You were here with football, right?
Yeah.
I think this is your first full season with us in sports. So yeah. I'm going to rewind the tape back. We got it all documented.
This is where
I've been on.
Starting this year.
Yeah. So not with us is FIFO 24/7. And BZ 430s in Detroit right now. But sitting in for them, you know, you guys heard him on the NBA Finals recap Friday for those of you that watched it live on YouTube, and Saturday for those of you that listen to the podcast. Platy.
Yeah.
For those of you that
I'm not the only one that messed the name up.
No. We actually had a conversation about that on Is the Mic Still On podcast. So if you guys listen to both of these, you'll get that reference. But Chris Platy's back and I get it wrong. So what's the podcast name?
From Strictly Hip Hop and Strictly Hoop Talk. And I got to rebrand that because I've heard Animal Brown get it wrong.
He always gives me shit about getting it wrong, though. So you've heard him get it wrong.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Animal Brown always gives me shit about saying his name wrong.
Well, like when I first started leaguing with you guys, out of respect, I'm like, I'm going to let that slide. But now that we know each other, I could tell y'all getting it wrong. So I might have to rebrand myself. But Strictly Hip Hop and Strictly Hoop Talk is the podcast you could check me on.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I get the respect thing, but yeah, you know, don't let anybody get your name wrong, man. Yeah, keep that respect for yourself.
I feel you. That's a level. Like, that's self-respect.
Yeah, exactly. That other voice you hear, that baritone voice, that deep voice you guys hear, you guys may not be familiar with, is Spike Lou from the On Deck TV podcast. Welcome to the show, brother.
I appreciate you having me, man. Just enjoyed the previous conversation that we had, so I'm glad y'all having me. People don't know I get in my sports bag, too. I hardly ever get to talk sports, so yeah, I'm here for it.
All right, cool. And finally, from the Low Mid podcast on the Dead End Podcast Network, on the Dead End Hip Hop podcast feed is Ramil. Welcome to the show, brother.
What's going on, man? Thank y'all for having me. Let's get it.
So Ramil's here. If you guys listen to the Low Mid podcast, they talk sports on there. He and Nemo, who's also on the show, had a thing going about Kawhi, so I'm interested to hear the resolution to that, because Nemo was hating on Kawhi.
He was hating.
Yeah, man.
He was hating on him, man.
Yeah, but we here, you know, on this episode, this bonus episode, to talk about the trade that happened yesterday. It's been speculated for
2 years now, I feel like.
Two years. But the conversation's increased over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure.
AD is now a Laker.
Mm.
The Pelicans get Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, 3 first rounders, including this year's first round of the 4th. And the Lakers get Anthony Davis.
Yeah. And I could clarify the 2 other picks, because that just broke today, was a 2021 first round pick from the Lakers that is, I believe, somewhat protected, and then an unprotected 2024.
Oh, 24. Okay.
No, 23. Yeah.
24.
It's every other. I thought it was every other year, because you can't trade away your picks all at the one back time. To back.
But they may have just taken the 24 instead of the 23.
Yeah, they took the 24 instead of the 23.
Oh, okay.
Specifically because of LeBron's contract.
Yeah, the third year. That's the third year. The year that they should suck. So they got them out of this one. Yeah.
Who won the trade, man? We start with the most.
Both.
I want to give a shout out to Dave Griffin. I think he is one of the most underrated GMs, but now he's kind of getting his shine, because he was involved in getting the Cavaliers their first title, and now that he's in New Orleans, he's pretty much trying to make the best of the situation. And this trade, I think he won a lot. I think the Lakers gave up too much. And I'm excited to see what he does with these picks, and because I think he's going to trade the fourth pick this year to get another player or some other type of assets.
They were talking about trading back to the Hawks and taking those two picks, 8 and 10, for 4, and that way you have two more picks.
He can get the whole Duke squad.
I got a question about that, and I brought it up because I went live on Instagram right as the news broke about the Anthony Davis trade, and the thing that I speculated is if you're the Pelicans. And you know this draft is like a one to three man draft pretty much. Why would you invest so heavy in this draft? So like if you have the number 4 pick, I would trade that for a future first round pick, because we know this draft class, while it has quality players across the board, it doesn't have that star power.
I disagree.
I disagree with both of you guys. Now I disagree with David Griffin because I don't think that. I think he's been the benefit of great situations. I think that he's been the benefit of having LeBron James in Cleveland. And now I think he's the benefit of them completely fumbling the situation with the Lakers last year. So now the Lakers and the thing were like, okay, we'll give you whatever we want, so we hold face. So we're going to overpay for AD. And I think that in Cleveland, he listened to LeBron too much and got them in a situation where now LeBron's not here and we can't win. But hence how he lost his job.
But at the same time, he got a title. Like a lot of fans, or a lot of people. I'm not saying you are one of them, but we always talk about like we want to see like 5 to 8 years worth of good competitive basketball, and you don't always get
one
that.
I want to see him build this New Orleans team before I say that, because what I disagree with you here. I think this is his chance to show that he is good at his job. I think that he had the benefit of LeBron James with Cleveland. I think he had the benefit here of coming into this situation of them completely jackballing it last year, so the Lakers overpay. Now I want to see what David Griffin does. Like, can he build with this draft? He going to make the right decision with the trades? How is he going to put a team around Zion as to where 3 years from now Zion ain't pulling an Anthony Davis? Like, you know what, bro?
I'm out.
You know what I'm saying? That's his job now, in my opinion.
It is his job, but he also showed the blueprint as far as what you need to surround LeBron with to succeed. And before then, LeBron was in Cleveland for what?
LeBron was telling him, I'm talking about in
Miami. Of course, if you have Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh at the time,
it was simple though. It was surround LeBron with shooters.
That was the first place that really did it.
But they also had to draft Kyrie.
Kyrie was 18 and 100 when Kyrie came.
They weren't anticipating him coming back when Kyrie came.
I think that David Griffin is like, he just hasn't proven himself.
I think if Kyrie wasn't there, I don't think LeBron goes back to Cleveland.
Possibly.
That's probably true.
Either way,
Kyrie was the number one overall pick, a no-brainer. Number one overall pick.
They were the worst team in the league. They had to get the number one pick.
Is he not the guy that he took Michael Bennett, right?
Did he take Anthony Bennett?
Didn't David Griffin draft him?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to hit. I mean, the draft
what do you
is
mean?
A crash.
He was out of the league in two years.
Yes, I agree. I'm not saying he's not without his faults, but you can't, like, not everybody's about in 1,000.
I'm just saying he has
the potential.
He has the potential. I'll say he has the potential. I just don't think he's done it yet.
And to Spike Lou's point, he has a chance to show it now.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
I agree.
What Griffin did do, and I give him credit, is he brought some maturity to the Pelicans.
They definitely needed that. They were being ran by a football organization because the Saints owner bought them. So he definitely brought some basketball legitimacy to the front office.
Right, and they were acting very immature. They didn't want to work with the Pelicans at all. So he said, look, you know, step back. I got it. He talked to the owner. Or owners or whoever, and say, yo, we need to do this because, you know, we won't be able to get a package anywhere else, which, you know, has been reported as well. So this was the best deal that they had. So get out of your feelings and let's make a decision and a business decision on what's best for the franchise and accumulate as many assets as we can. Business is a non-emotional.
Yes.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah. So, and that's how you're supposed to approach it, and that's what he brought coming in from the outside. So
who do y'all think won the trade?
I think both.
I mean, they got Anthony Davis.
At this point in time, that's AD.
There are trades where both teams win.
Yeah, I think it balanced out. I kind of agree with you. I think that neither one of them are worse for wear.
True. I think that the Pelicans have potential to do really well from this trade, and I think the Lakers already have done really well. So, I mean, it just comes to them building out their roster. They should be, what are we saying, Western Conference Finals at least next year?
I said title yesterday when I found out.
The very least, the best player LeBron has played with.
Golden State not being Golden State no more.
True, exactly.
And in the meantime, who's really stopping them? They're the favorites now.
So I would say LA won for now. And if David Griffin is able to do a good job, then it would be
a the jury's still out on him.
It comes down to knowns and unknowns, right?
Okay.
So we know what Anthony Davis is.
Right.
So 25, 13.
Yeah, he can't take your team to the playoffs. That's
three blocks, and with the organization that couldn't build around him.
Yeah.
But
and they still want to play off series that one year.
And I was gonna say last year they beat.
Didn't they knock off Portland?
Portland. It was Portland.
And they was the lowest
Lillard
seed.
Didn't show up, and Holiday was murdering him for. Like
I thought that was more of a Holiday Rondo effect. With AD, then AD.
I mean, oh, yeah, you got.
I don't think that was an ascension of AD. I think
playoff
that's
Rondo
fact,
was in full effect.
When you got playoff Rondo, it's a wrap.
That's true.
Yeah, but I'm with you on
that's crazy to say in 2019
because yeah, Rondo's a legend, man. Rondo's a legend.
He's a legend.
Yeah, he's a baller. Legend. I love
playoff Rondo.
I'm just saying.
But no, I'm with you on Anthony Davis' ability to be a franchise turning player in terms of producing wins to get a team to the playoffs.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. But we still know the production and the numbers he put up,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So we know what he is. Do we know what Lonzo Ball is? We know what he's close
could
to.
Could be. Potentially.
No. Not could be. We know what he's close to. Bust.
Hey, I'm excited to see Zoe and Zion in the pick and roll.
Oh, like, that's dope.
That's going to be 80 assists a game.
But that's if he buys into New Orleans. You know what I mean?
He don't got no choice at this point.
No, because I saw that clip. I think it was from the, because they got that reality show on Facebook Watch. He was in New Orleans. He was talking a hella shit about it.
Previously?
Yeah, he was like, I cannot see myself being here. I think this city is haunted. Yeah. Like, he was talking a lot of
shit. He's probably pissed as hell right now.
Yeah. And New Orleans expressed interest in, remember at the deadline, they were like, the reason we don't want to do this trade is because we're not that high on Lonzo. And that was a big holdup. Yeah, in February when they were basically the Lakers were offering almost the same package, except the pick ended up being a number four pick instead of a lottery or a playoff pick. But I'm curious. Like, to me, there's a lot of moving parts in this trade. Like, I could see Griffin trading the four pick, trading Lonzo. I mean, I could
Can
see
you do
really
back-to-back
anybody
trades like that.
Yeah,
now.
Off-season.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, so I could see a lot of these assets, I could see are assets that are a bigger play into something else, whether it's, I mean, not bigger play as in like a star, but bigger play as in like there's another trade, I think, that could come with this. So that's another reason that makes it hard to assess this trade, but I think just on a value asset for asset trade, I mean, that 2024 unprotected Lakers pick, I mean, I don't assume it's going to be great, but that is a valuable get, because that is a year that's a year after LeBron's contract is up and Anthony Davis will be like 31, 32 and Anthony Davis's history. And they don't have the third yet. We assume they're getting a third star, but they don't have that yet.
They got the money for
this. They got a lot of big.
Let me ask you. Ask you guys this. Would you take? You mentioned packaging those pick. If you were Memphis, would you take Alonzo Ball and that fourth pick for Mike Conley? Or is that too much for Mike Conley?
Alonzo Ball and the fourth pick for Mike Conley. Why would the Pelicans do that though?
I wouldn't
to get Mike Conley.
Mike Conley and Zion.
I thought you were going to top four or five.
I thought you were going to say
trade the second overall pick for Alonzo and the fourth.
Well, I feel like.
First,
the Grizzlies got the second pick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So if they were to take Morant with the second pick and then somehow trade Conley for that fourth pick,
I think if you're Memphis, you do that 100%. But to me,
that'd
be
cold.
To me, what I think they got to do the Philly route, right? They got to get that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, like the two transcendent guys. They got the Zion. But I think they got to get the other guy. So I don't think they should necessarily commit to a guy like Mike Conley right now. You get what I'm saying?
And how old is Mike Conley?
Well, they got a lot of cap space, though. That's the thing. Like, they got money to spend because all these picks that we're talking about now are just rookies.
Yeah, right.
Or,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot
right.
of picks.
But so if you're taking Mike Conley, give me a first-round pick. Because that's an expensive contract. That's one of the most expensive contracts in the league.
That was like $150 million, right?
See, if I got the money to spend and I can put a great point guard with Zion, I think that's going to, like, help his growth tremendously.
Oh,
and then if I'm New Orleans, I don't need the fourth pick to pair with Zion to hope in 4 years that both of those guys stay. That's just my thought process.
Yeah,
in
okay. I honestly think that because Mike Conley's contract is going to be coming off the books too. So he's gonna, so like you really the money you're talking about contract, is not going to really matter. But as far as trading Lonzo and the four for the second, like if the Pelicans get one and two, they can set their fr- that's where I can.
That's the future right there.
They can get
that's
Morant, the future. They get John Morant and Zion.
Oh, that's gonna be cold.
You gonna at least gonna pack the building out.
Exactly. They got Lonzo Ball.
Memphis wouldn't do that though. I don't think Memphis would do that. Lonzo.
They wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't, but I would think Mike Conley is interesting.
If I'm Memphis, I'd do that tomorrow just because it gives a jolt in the arm to my franchise. Like, nobody's tuning in the Grizzlies game. But if I got the second pick and the fourth pick.
That's what we're saying. Uh-huh. He was saying that instead of trading for Mike Conley, trade for the second pick and get Ja, and then you have Ja and Zion, and that's your foundation moving forward. I like that for New Orleans, but I don't like that for Memphis. Memphis is in a similar situation. Now, Jaren Jackson isn't a Zion, but he's clearly something a building block, a building piece. And so they're looking for the next thing to pair with that.
But if you have Lonzo with Mike Conley on his expiring contract, it's kind of like when with Eli Manning and Daniel Jones. Like, the guy's going to eventually leave anyway, regardless, because we're not going to re-sign him. But that the mindset that he has, the savviness, because he's a great player, he's just been injury-prone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you pair that with Lonzo,
you talking about Conley?
Yeah, Conley. Okay. I like Mike Conley. Like, you don't like Mike Conley?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm saying. You're talking about Lonzo Ball.
No. I'm talking about Lonzo. If Mike Conley can mentor Lonzo Ball and he could be the next up, you still got a fourth pick. You can either draft somebody or, again, trade it for an eighth and a tenth with Atlanta.
Well, then it comes down to Lonzo or Ja. Who do you believe in more? That's what that conversation would be if you're Memphis,
that's,
right?
That's tough to gauge right now.
No, I'll take Ja.
Off star power, I want Ja Morant.
Yeah.
I want Ja.
And before he can do, he can score.
And he can shoot.
He can shoot. That's what I'm saying. Lonzo can't fucking shoot.
He can do much everything that Lonzo can except play defense.
Most of y'all are saying it's a two-win. Both sides won for the most part.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro.
I think the Lakers, now when I saw the news yesterday and I looked at all that they did give up, I was like, damn, it might come back to bite him in the ass, because it's like, okay, what are you going to put around LeBron and AD to ensure that, you know what I'm saying, the West is still the West. So it's like, it's not like they're going to cakewalk through the West.
But the West is good, but the West is open.
It's open. It is open. That's what I'm saying. Now. Especially with Golden State, you know what I'm saying?
Houston
unfortunately.
And Golden State are both.
But with it being open, just like how this East was like this previous season was open. But then again, at the end of the day, we didn't expect the Raptors to win. Just because something is open doesn't mean the favorite is going to be there. We all thought Boston, we all thought Philly, you know, was going in there. So yeah, the Lakers right now, Vegas has them with the best odds winning the championship, but they're still at Denver. I think if you talking,
I'm not saying the Lakers.
Denver not touching them.
No, I'm just saying, but there's still teams out there that you don't know what, because Denver's getting Michael Porter Jr. back. FIFO always talks
knowns
about that.
Who and he unknowns.
Yeah, his back may break tomorrow.
Right.
There was a lot of unknowns with the Raptors getting Kawhi Leonard, because we didn't know what kind of health.
But we knew
they already were Eastern Conference.
No, but we didn't know.
The known was Kawhi Leonard.
No, but we didn't know if Kawhi was a part of the system or he was a great player on his own. He had to prove that still. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's still a lot of unknowns.
But we're talking about the player, though. The known is that Kawhi Leonard was a Finals MVP and he's a baller. That's what we did.
Put a team on his back.
We didn't know was about but we didn't know about was the injury, right? But everybody vouched for him.
I don't think we knew if the team was on his back, because like he had it. The championship he won was.
You remember when he won that Finals MVP? People were asking, is he better than LeBron James?
No,
it was Skip.
It was Skip.
That brought that conversation up.
I understand that, but he still had Tim Duncan, Miles Ginobili, Tony Parker, and Danny. He didn't have scrubs around where he's gone.
They weren't in their prime, though. They wasn't in their prime.
He was the best player on that
team.
Yes, but that still was a great team.
It was
a team themselves. Nobody wins a chip themselves.
But but obviously that San Antonio team is a lot more skillful and talented than this Raptors team.
But Nick, the year that Ja Ja took him out, had the hit job on him.
It was up by 30.
Was Tim Duncan
and
him on that team?
No, they was up by 20. And that was game one.
Tim Duncan wasn't on that team. That was game three. They were down 2-0.
So Manu was still there, right?
They were not down 2-0.
I think they were
down 2-0. That was game one.
Oh, they were just up 30.
Yeah. It was up by a lot.
It was the first year without that big three.
Yes.
I think maybe Manu was still there.
Yes, right.
Tony Parker was gone too. Yeah.
Tony was gone too.
Kawhi was the guy.
Patty Mills was putting in a slight work. Dirk. Yeah, Ginobili was still there. Nice.
So
yeah.
We knew then that he could carry a team because he did it that year.
But that
year.
Was. But then that's still under the tutelage of Pop. Everybody. You say Pop. That's what I'm saying. Like yeah. Everybody thought, okay. Like, is he a system player? It's like with Bill Belichick and the Pats. Like,
so your whole point is what? As far as
he proved, still, like, just the because known. Just because something is open.
You saying Kawhi was an unknown going to
still,
Toronto?
Yeah, even though it was more like I still would bet on that unknown, right. But it was still unknown. And I'm saying just because the West is open because of the injuries to Golden State does not mean that the Lakers should be the favorite, in my opinion.
But what we do know is that Durant and KD may not play. I mean,
they're not playing.
KD Clay. And Clay may not play at all next year.
They're not going.
We do know that the Rockets are fractured.
Yeah. They're just mentally.
I would agree with Ken. I think that the knowns and the unknowns, and based off what we know, looking at the rosters 3 days after the finals or whatever it may be, the Lakers got the best roster. If you just have Kuzma, LeBron, and AD starting there, that's the best roster in the West.
As long as they can't Kuzma, like, I was straight.
I'm taking that, like,
is that the best team? And we also got to – we act like LeBron is still in Miami prime. Like, he's still coming off. He's still coming off.
And he fell off a cliff, right?
The Raptors showed something very important this year that I think the Lakers have to consider, and this is, to me, a big discussion.
Front office?
Toronto with how – we saw them. Toronto versus Golden State. Two teams built different ways. Warriors were very top-heavy. They didn't have the depth. Toronto was a bench. The Lakers have that question, so I pose that all to you. How should the Lakers do this? Because they now have one more max slot. They could go after a Kyrie, a Kemba, a Jimmy, even a Kawhi, but I don't think Kawhi has interest in actually going there. But or they could use that to fill out the team around LeBron and AD and get a bunch of quality players.
Like a Brook Lopez and stuff like that.
And some more shooters.
Yeah, what is the – if you're the Lakers right now, if you're running the Lakers, what do you do? Do you sign that third or do you – and say – fuck it, we'll figure out the rest, and you know.
Got to fill out the roster.
You think build around AD and LeBron?
Look at Golden State. If you're top heavy and you have injuries – it's a wrap. Yeah. You're done for. So and LeBron coming off injury, AD hasn't been the most healthiest superstar in the league. So it's just like if either one of those go out, then you don't have
Warriors
anything else.
But the Warriors were for 3 years with Kevin Durant. They were undisputed on top.
That's unfortunate, though, right?
I would go for the third for the sense of I don't know yet if Anthony Davis knows how to win. Like, y'all remember the title game at Kentucky? Like, he had 0 points. 0 points and, like, 15 rebounds. I don't know yet in big spots that he knows how to win. Even in that playoff series, we talking about Drew Holiday and we talking about playoff Rondo. Yeah. We don't know if Anthony Davis has what it
Anthony
takes to win yet.
Anthony was a beast that playoff.
But he didn't put them on his back. And I'm saying, to your point,
He was having 40.
But he was getting spoken about Rondo. And if, to your point, if I'm building out that roster, I'm thinking to myself, LeBron's at an age where I don't know if I want to depend on him in June. I can depend on him to get us to the playoffs, maybe get us a 2 or 3, 1 seed, whatever it may be. I don't know if AD can win, so I think we need that third guy like a Jimmy Bucket. So when the spotlight gets big and people nuts draw up, like Jimmy Bucket's going to be the one to take that shot.
I disagree, though, because what has Jimmy Bucket won? What has
he helped
shown?
Them. He helped them get to 7 games
Philly
in Toronto. Without him in Toronto, there's no 7 games. That's 5-game series.
Philly would have lost to Brooklyn without Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy put them on his back.
What do you think they should do, Ramir?
I think they should. Oh man, listen, I kind of see both sides, but I would lean more towards catering towards, you know, building around LeBron and AD, man. Yes. Because like you said, I understand getting the third superstar and I'm talking about getting a tier one superstar.
Like
get you a Kyrie, get you somebody tier one. Kemba he hasn't had the opportunity yet to really prove that he's like that tier one kind of point guard. I think he could be, he just had a team around him.
But he's a defensive liability, especially in the West. They got the best point guard.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So it's
what I get Anthony Davis for.
Ideally, you would want somebody like Kyrie who's a little bit better defensively and even better offensively.
I was going to go with Kyrie for championship experience, like you were saying. Yeah, because he won with LeBron, too. Yeah, exactly. He won with LeBron.
And that's what I would do with the money. I would go after a third
superstar.
And he showed me this morning. Kyrie is now on the table. Mm. He's open to going there.
Because he's in Brooklyn, though.
No. They had a report this morning that came out that said it didn't say like Kyrie and the Lakers, but it said Kyrie still maintains that he wants to play with Anthony Davis. So that all but
okay.
But that doesn't mean nothing because he's a free agent regardless in 2020 next summer. So AD can still play with LA this year and then go to.
He's
then,
not
okay,
Nick.
Okay. No.
What do you mean
no,
he's not?
If I'm the
not,
Lakers,
no,
if a, I'm the Lakers, I'm
that's a fair point to me. That's a fair point to me because.
Okay, hold on. Stop. You actually think that AD will not re-sign with the Lakers, or they don't already have
a one-year rental?
I'm saying this. Brooklyn without any superstar. Took like y'all said, took Philly to six or five or six,
yeah,
and that could have easily been seven, depending on if they were But Brooklyn was obviously green. Right. Add Kyrie to that, they could be a higher seed in the playoffs
because that's what they said about Boston last year.
Thank you.
They said the same thing about Boston.
Leadership.
Kyrie back. Let Haywood get back.
No, I'm not saying.
And then Boston's going to the finals. I'm a fan. I spoke for Boston. I'm like, all right, yeah.
And I wanted them to win, too.
And I watched him all season shit our season down the drain.
I'm just saying,
by being a cancer. These interviews. We don't know what he's talking about being a leader and calling LeBron James in the middle of the season. Like, I watched him take away from what Brad Stevens built over, 2 years.
And I'm not saying as far as he's going to take you to a championship. I'm saying he's going to get you at least a higher seed because he's better.
If I'm Brooklyn, I don't want him then. If he can't get me to a champ,
it's all about matchups. Higher seed is about matchups. You're not going to face a number one, number two seed. You're going to face an Indiana. Out of the first round.
I'm on your side, but I'm going to argue.
Right.
For Brooklyn's history, what is that? What do you mean? They're not coming in with any type of.
This Kyrie wants to win titles, bro.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying Kyrie can do 1 year. He can sign a long term in Brooklyn, showcase what he can do with that Brooklyn squad. Whether that's a risk itself, I don't know. If that's going to be good or great, but AD, if he doesn't like what's going on in LA, especially with that front office situation, everybody always like to overgloss that front office. That's a big key.
I think AD not signing is just politics with the agents. I think it's a clutch and Lakers thing. I don't think it's AD because of the whole thing. I think it's only a clutch and Lakers thing, and they're using that for leverage.
I'm on your side, but I'm going to argue a different point in that I don't think, again, if you were to ask me percentages, 95% that AD signs with LA.
Yeah,
but what the underrated thing about this is Kyrie still wants his own team. And if he goes back to LA, back under
tail between your legs.
He don't want his own team.
I think that's why he's leaving, because
Boston was his team.
These athletes and their egos, I think he thinks it didn't work in Boston.
I think he knows he can't do it now. He's Batman.
What he's saying with that report is maybe potentially, he's also saying maybe he's saying he's going to LA, but maybe what he's saying is AD, come join me in Brooklyn.
Well, also he got to Boston. That wasn't on his team's
too late
list.
Now,
that wasn't a destination he really wanted to. He just was fortunate to end up in Boston. He always said New York
He said Phoenix. Phoenix was on the list. He wanted to go to a team that wasn't doing anything and make them something.
And so were the Spurs. But at the end of the day, he wanted to play at home.
My main case is that. Again, I've been saying this since last season. All of this is a showcase for what the Lakers can get. And so far, they got AD, but they had to give up a lot. Now, going into this offseason, they can assign someone, Max, and you got three stars potentially. But again, going against what Golden State showcased this year in the finals, if anybody gets hurt, especially a big cog, your best player. It's a wrap for your season.
Unless it's Kyrie and AD and LeBron gets hurt.
Kyrie's not coming. Yeah. He's got a crib in Brooklyn. He's ready to go.
And you know what? You're probably right.
He's probably not coming.
But that story didn't come out of nowhere. And all season long, there have been discussions of him wanting to play with AD.
Specifically.
And Katie. Or superstar, Katie. Period.
He's also talked about playing with Jimmy Butler.
Kyrie
what happened
has
to that?
To know. Kyrie has to know for the last year that Anthony Davis was trying to end up in LA. So by him putting that out there is, again, it could be come with me to New York, and knowing Kyrie's ego, it very might well be. But it also can be, you know what, I called LeBron. And when did he call LeBron? During the time that Anthony Davis reported that he would wanted to only go to L.A.
Oh wow!
Well, I'm.
How are you put two and two together?
But damn. look at how many people we've
that
attached.
Being said, I have no clue anymore.
Look how many people.
But we're all just putting clues together.
Right. Look how many people we have attached to Kyrie. First Kyrie and KD. Then it's Kyrie and Jimmy Butler. Then it's Kyrie and AD. It's like,
damn, that goes to why I don't want Kyrie as the leader of my team.
I don't either.
Because you think he has to be in the driver's seat. He can't be in the driver's seat.
He's indecisive.
Yeah, I don't want a guy going to the media after practice. Well, these guys just don't know how to be led. Like, nah, bro, you talk to me on the court. And you tell the media everything is okay.
Right. You don't tell me. You don't run to the media first and have me hear it through that.
Yeah, and I just don't think that Kyrie's at that point in his career. I don't know if he will ever be, and I think that's why he's left Boston. I think that's why he wants to go play.
But do you think
I don't think he wants to play.
Do I think he knows that in his mind? Because probably to me, not. I could see him being like, it didn't work in Boston because those guys weren't ready.
I can see that because Brad Stevens is such a good coach. I can see
overrated.
I think he's another conversation. I think he's a good coach, and I think that when you have a coach like that and you're a player, especially a point guard in Kyrie Irving, you're gonna clash.
Well, you
could be right about the Boston aspect of it because the head coach. So with
Boston, as far as the head coach, I think there should be some blame that goes to Brad Stevens because to me he showed that he can run a food truck but not a restaurant. True. So I think when he has superstars, he has to learn how to be able to develop and get the most out of that. But when it comes to, I don't want Kyrie. At first, going into this last summer, I was really excited about possibly KD and Kyrie going to New York. But as again, like you mentioned, with Boston, what he showed is that he is not a great focal point on your franchise. And I'd rather take a Kemba Walker and KD or something of that where you just a grind hard dude and you don't really say
Jimmy
much.
Buckets.
Mm. I don't think Jimmy Buckets is that dude
You think Jimmy Buckets is just as big too?
But Jimmy hasn't
done anything to have a big ego.
My problem with people.
Neither has Kemba. Oh, you said to have a big ego.
People give Jimmy a bad rap. And I think I don't think the ego is big. I think he just wants to win.
I think he had a dog.
That comes off negative, especially if you somebody like Carl Anthony Towns who had a problem. You got a millennial right here. It's like, man, I'm putting up 20-10. What more do you want me to do, bro?
And Jimmy Butler's like,
nah, dog, you got to play defense. You got every time down the row. And he's probably like, why are you riding me so hard, bro? So
yeah.
I think Jimmy Butler gets
can't agree
that's my
them,
millennial.
Chris
like, man, get out of here. That's my millennial impersonation.
Where's your loyalty, man?
He's up on the millennial shit.
I do think that Jimmy Butler just has a dog in him that a lot of people don't understand.
The Wiley Philly. Philly can give you the most money.
I don't think he should leave Philly.
It's the best team right now. It's way better than what the Lakers are going to get.
If I'm Philly, I want Jimmy Buckets. I want Jimmy Buckets as my two, and I'm getting rid of Simmons. I want Embiid. I want Buckets, and I'm trying to figure out who I can get in there for Simmons.
I'm good with that. I agree.
Speaking of Memphis, we talked about earlier, offer Ben Simmons and some scrub. Not Mike Conley for your number two pick.
Job.
You can get job.
I think
Mike Conley's a little injury prone for me, and this contract may not be able to get you out.
I just want to see Conley working with a big man like Embiid or like Zion, like I was saying. That's the only reason.
I don't think the money will work.
Free agent? Conley?
No, he got one
he
more.
Got one more. Okay. That's, okay. I don't think the money will work to max out certain
players. It would because of Jimmy and Tobias coming up.
Yeah, both
of them as expiring contracts. So they're both off the books, so they can maneuver it to where, like, okay, we'll sign Jimmy after we sign after we get Mike Conley, we'll go over the cap to reset.
Okay.
Because you can't go over the cap to trade for Mike Conley. You can go over the cap to re-sign your guy.
But nonetheless, I think Jimmy should stay in Philly. That's his best.
Yeah, I think he should too.
Yeah, I would like him to stay in Philly. I don't mind him in Philly, but I
would love to see him in LA.
If he left, I would understand. Like, because AD just changed everything, man, for the Lakers. Like,
why?
Yeah.
Because he's Anthony Davis.
LeBron's never had a player this good on his team.
Yes, he has.
That's another thing.
Don't you dare say.
No, you better not say D Wade.
Wait, that's not.
That's what I was. That's what I was going to say.
That's not disrespect. I thought you were going to say Kyrie.
No. I was going to say D Wade.
So D Wade, when LeBron joined, is better than
he was a champion.
KD
was a champion,
is right now.
No, I'm saying, let's go back.
No, I want to clarify.
Let's go back to 2011. And okay, where was Dwayne Wade? If you're ranking the players,
he was top ten.
That
still
was my clarification.
He was still top 10.
So my clarification
is
this:
Davis is top. Top three, top one.
No, he's not.
Like he's not top. Nights. He's not top three.
He's not top five at all.
To clarify,
he's barely top 10. Probably
there was a point in time when D Wade was one of the, when he put him on his back against Dallas. 08, yes. 08?
No, no, no.
That was
no,
an 06. That was an 06.
Yeah. 06.
By the time LeBron got there, it wasn't. Yeah, by the time LeBron got there, it wasn't.
That's why he took the best. He was like, you know what, LeBron will let you lead because he knew it in himself. He knew it.
not. He was not a top.
Are you serious?
He was yes. no. He wasn't Finals MVP Wade anymore.
No. I'm asking. In 2010, Dwayne Wade with the Miami Heat was balling.
That's true.
He was arguably an MVP candidate.
But he was not an AD.
But they got bounced in the first round.
He had championship pedigree.
They got bounced
AD.
In the first round that year. That was
by Boston. You right about they got bounced by Boston.
You right about the championship pedigree.
How many times AD got bounced out in the first round? Like, let's come on.
But look, though, we're talking about from a talent aspect. You're right about the championship pedigree. You're right about the accomplishments. You're absolutely right. What we're speaking of.
I'm talking about tandem as well. I'm talking about between.
Right.
Would you rather have an AD?
And that's what we're speaking of. Like, I've never seen LeBron with a 7 foot stretch five that can play defense and assist and get out of double teams.
I can play defense on the perimeter.
I've never seen LeBron with that.
I think y'all hyping up AD to a level that we haven't seen.
And listen, hold up.
I'm saying to a level we haven't seen from him yet. We haven't seen him take over a series and handle anything by himself.
I'm going to do a callback here to knowns and unknowns. We've seen LeBron. We know how. Like, LeBron took Booby Gibson and a whole band of
Ilgauskas
to the finals.
To the
like,
finals.
He made Ilgauskas an all-star. So now I'm
what
saying
conference was that
that's
in?
The known.
What conference was that?
These was good.
The West is depleted now, too.
These was good back then.
The West is just as depleted as the East was then.
I'm saying this. The tandem that you guys are talking about is an aging LeBron and an AD that's coming off of injury.
Now LeBron's aging.
I'm just saying. But we're talking about the time.
Let me refute that AD part because I actually looked up his stats. So not counting last season, because last season had the whole, like, we're benching him and blah, blah, blah. But those last two seasons, Anthony Davis played 75 games each season.
Okay, that's fine. I'm
not injury prone. That knocks that off.
Did he go back-to-back in the playoffs in those years?
No, but
okay. So then he's not a player.
But it's a team.
Okay, so now it's a team. I'm just talking about the tandem of LeBron.
Talent is what they're talking about.
Ken, the tandem of LeBron and Dwayne Wade during the Miami days versus this upcoming tandem of LeBron and AD. Who do you think is a better?
We gotta wait.
Let me switch this.
We gotta wait.
Let me switch this and see how you answer this. Let me see how you answer this. LeBron is still the Batman, correct?
Yes, of course.
Has there ever been a better Robin than AD?
Yes.
Who?
And you're saying it's Dwayne Wade. Wow. And that's the only answer.
That's the only one I got.
So
if you never played with Dwayne Wade, I would agree with you.
I disagree, but to be clear, like, again, we're none of us are saying that Wade wasn't good. Like, he was still top 10 in the league.
He was either the best shooting guard or the second best shooting guard, because I think I got to look at where Kobe was at. I think Kobe
and Anthony Davis is unequivocally when
he's not the best big. He's not the best big. Embiid is the best big.
This could even segue us into
Embiid is not the best.
It's debatable. It's debatable.
Us into the Steph Curry debate with physics. We're talking about a 7 foot like basketball like sculpture in Anthony Davis.
A basketball machine.
Now D Wade, you're right, he has a talented, but at the end of the day, that's pairing LeBron James with a 6'4", 6'5" shooting guard.
So
I can get in the playoffs with a 7 foot forward that can shoot the ball with LeBron James. Nobody's ever seen that before.
So I do agree with you. I think it's not that far off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Dwayne Wade fan, so I may lean towards Wade, because I just pulled up the numbers and people, because one of the articles said that he was the best player he's played with during his whole career.
Right.
AD. Ooh,
Anthony Davis, LeBron. But then they went around and said numbers. And then I was like, okay, well, then I looked at the numbers and I mean, Wade at one point was putting up 30 a year.
Exactly.
Yeah, but was that in 2000? Right.
Was that when LeBron was coming?
Well, we're talking about not when LeBron was there, but
yes.
Before
right.
that, like, Wade.
Okay. Wade 2009. Yes.
2009.
Didn't he win the scoring title? Or wasn't he? He was doing something crazy the year before LeBron got
there. He was still beasting. He was still top 10.
He put up 25 that year. So, you know, but so. In terms of talent,
right.
Wade, for his size, pound for pound, is right there with AD.
Yes.
And my point, we can take prime and compare them together. My point is, where is basketball going to right now?
Mm-hmm.
What era of basketball are we in? Are we in a big man era?
This is the total opposite of a three-man. This is a three-point era.
He's not your traditional big man, though.
He can still snap out there, but he's still big, and
it's going to give him an advantage in this area because he can protect the paint. So now when I'm playing teams that got Draymond at center, I'm just dumping the ball down under him.
Does he like to play the five position?
When it's Embiid down there, but if it's Draymond down there,
I got a 5 foot advantage.
Yeah, of course. That's the mismatch, and you're dealing with the talent level disparity as well.
They'll have a center. They'll have a center.
Exactly. They're not going to play him in the post, true. Especially with LeBron. LeBron works in the post, especially at this stage of his career. Mm-hmm. He needs to be playing more down low than on the post.
Giannis doesn't play center, but his physical nature like allows him to basically act like a center. Like Anthony Davis likes
Giannis
to do
is
that.
A different mentality.
But what is the debate anyway? I forgot.
The debate is
the best player. He is the best player.
LeBron's best. I just actually looked something up. And again, this is Bleacher Report. So I just Googled top 10 NBA players in 2009, because that'd be the year we're looking at, because that's the year before LeBron joined. Because then you could say, like, okay, you know, there's like obviously in 2010 he had to sacrifice because LeBron's there now, and LeBron will take some of your numbers. So they have Kevin Durant, LeBron, Steve Nash, Kobe, Carmelo. They have Wade at 8. They have Dwight Howard above.
Oh my God.
Above
that list is hard. I don't even want to hear.
Steve Nash.
I'm just bringing up names so like that we could kind of like actually hash it out.
A
like
context where, of where he was at the time.
Where he was at the time.
Yeah.
Like, so he was a top 10 player.
He was a top 10 player, which I said.
Yeah.
I agree.
But I just think, okay, so I think where we disagree then is I think that most of us are higher on Anthony Davis than you are.
Because Dwayne Wade has showed me that he could take a team to the playoff by himself.
Shaq was there.
I'm talking about by him. When Shaq wasn't there, Dwayne Wade took the Miami Heat to a couple playoff runs. Yeah. Outside of the Rondo era.
He was in the East.
He was in the East. I agree. But as far as with AD's talent level, if you guys think AD is a better talent level than Dwayne Wade, even if he is in the West, he should at least got up to the playoffs, right?
But talent is also based on your circumstances.
But yeah,
but the West was better. The West is better now than it ever was.
Yeah,
and what I mean by that is the organizational failures of
New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
But talent. I mean, I have my criticism of him, just like you. I'm not going to knock the talent that he has in terms of his ability to play all over the court.
Yes. I'm not trying to discredit AD at all. I think he is a great big. He is top three big. He is.
You're talking about the intangibles, his ability to win.
That killer mentality.
To your tandem point, he don't need that no more because LeBron.
That's what LeBron's supposed to teach
him. That's what the tangibles are. He can leave to LeBron. He like, can just be.
Even with LeBron, D-Wade had to teach LeBron,
how to win.
Yeah, he had to teach some of the things that we're thinking LeBron is going to have to teach Anthony Davis, mm-hmm. which is why I think the potential the for this tandem is a lot larger.
The potential is there, but as far as...
You're saying right now.
As far as my expectations, I do see them getting further. I do see them, first of all, getting to the playoffs.
Of course.
I do see them getting a high seed in the playoffs.
They would have got the playoffs this year had he not gotten hurt.
Who, knowing everything you know today, who's your favorite to win next year? You got Golden State. They don't have Klay. They won't have KD. You know AD and LeBron are together. So tell me who you would pick to win the title.
I can't. I want to answer.
Just knowing what you know now.
I want to answer. There's so much.
Because
I would say we could probably run back Toronto if everybody stayed. But that's something that's a big. Kawhi Leonard stays.
I think he had it. And I think it's going to be sad for Toronto because they're going to try to get somebody to fill those shoes, like a Tobias Harris or something like that.
Ain't nobody coming in.
I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, but then I also think like Philly could be that pick as well for me too.
Mm.
I don't think anybody in the West is going to win next year.
Ben Simmons.
So you think the East is just going to win?
I think that's plausible
because it might take a year for him to really gel like he did when he
first
came.
There's more stability in the East than it is in the West, as far as from the front office to the coaching to the players.
Right.
There's more stability in the East and the West, so I do think.
And Rondo back with 80. Oh, this shit finna be sick.
If Rondo,
they got to resign him. They got to resign him.
Why?
Which I assume they. I assume
they will since Lonzo's gone.
They might try to get Chris Paul.
I don't.
Hey, Clutch,
that would ruin.
Come on, Rich, don't do it, Rich.
They got to move Rondo. They're getting Chris.
Listen,
what about Brandon Ingram? Right, what do you guys think about the Pelicans acquiring him? I mean, we talked about we know Josh Hart and the three picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Culver, maybe Cam Reddish, whatever. We'll see that at the draft. So the three picks, we don't know what they're going to be, but we do know about their two stars or the two top two picks,
right?
Which is Brandon Ingram, who showed some things late in the season.
It was inconsistent.
So we know the clock is an issue, but let's just say all of that is fine.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I wonder how he fits with Zion. Like, do they get in each other's way? Because I feel like Ingram is what is
Ingram is kind of an ISO player, like
ISO ball handler, yeah. Picket, but yeah. He's also good in the pick and roll too. So that pick and roll with Zion,
him and Zion,
I would say he's a three stretch four. I think he's in more of a Draymond Green.
He's not a four. He's not a four. He's too small to be a four.
I said a stretch four.
Two, three.
Not a four.
I mean, at this point, we're in position as basketball, right? So a lot of players that were like in my
Jared Dudley is a stretch four. So come on,
somebody told me yesterday that Jason Tatum was a four though. So I see what you're saying.
You could play a lot of players if you're right. To me, if you're above 6'6", you could play a lot of different positions, right?
Yeah, especially in today's NBA.
So
for short stints,
but I do agree with the point as far as how does he play with Zion, and does Zion defer to him, even though everybody knows this is your team?
Right, and I don't even know if I want him deferring to Brandon Ingram, to be honest. I feel like Brandon Ingram's at best the third option on a good team.
That's I'm not too high on him.
That was without a blood clot, right?
Yeah, that's without the blood clot. That's like me understanding that he can get buckets, or me understanding that he's playing with the second team, that he would be the guy that I go to for scoring. But I really don't want him messing up the flow of Zion and a potential ball handler.
Yes,
I see him as a way lesser Jimmy Butler, honestly.
I see him as a way less Chris Bosh. Or something of that nature. Like, well, not Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh in Miami?
I see him, like, standing in the corner, not handling the ball.
Off the ball? Like, you don't have to be off the ball.
If he's going to be on the winning team, yeah, but I see him as a player. Okay, not as good ISO player, like, as Jimmy, and definitely nowhere near as good defensive.
I see him as a Rudy Gay type of mode.
That's a good comparison. That's a great comparison.
That's probably a better comparison.
I think
20 on an empty team.
Yeah, I think he could potentially be Anthony Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins.
Bennett and all these busts. So Andrew Wiggins. I think he could be that. Talented, can score, but doesn't contribute. So here's what we're looking at with the Pelicans roster now. Lonzo at the one. Brandon Ingram, say at the two.
No, Holiday.
Yeah.
Holiday.
Jrue Holiday coming back? Okay.
Well, he's still on the contract.
Well, okay, hold on. Let's actually pose that question. Should the Pelicans trade Jrue Holiday is 26 or 27? I've heard reports that New Orleans wants to keep him because they think they could be competitive in the West despite having a young team. They want to be they don't want to bottom out. But if I'm the Pelicans, Jrue Holiday could fetch me a nice return.
That's a good defender. He can score.
But at the same time,
throw him on my Pistons, man.
So so how are we going to play Lonzo and Jrue Holiday?
That's a great defensive backcourt.
It is.
Lonzo is a way, and with all the players that the Pelicans got and potentially can get with this fourth pick, whether they draft somebody or trade for it, he got a lot of people he could throw to feed, especially with Zion. He's supposed to be feeding him all day. And I think Jrue Holiday brings a veteran. I think you would like him to work off of Jrue Holiday because he could get his own bucket. He's a veteran. He'll show him how to defend better on the perimeter. I don't see a reason to trade him because he's been there for so long.
Right.
That's the Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
At this point, you need something to help groom these guys. You don't want all young players. You know what I'm saying?
You need some vets in there. Show them the way.
I feel that. I just think he could fetch a nice return. I feel like he could fetch either a prospect and a first rounder or two first rounders.
Because that's a slippery slope with New Orleans. Like, I think they could get too greedy this offseason and just try to trade away
bottom.
Exactly.
Okay,
it'll probably ruin what you already got cooking. Yeah.
Do they re-sign Julius Randle?
Damn, I forgot about Julius.
Have to trade him.
Yeah, you have to trade. Well, he's expendable. Free agent. I'm sorry, he's expendable.
Yeah, or they can't trade him.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't re-sign him.
Yeah, I don't want him.
Yeah, go ahead and do what you're going to do with Julius.
Good. He's taking minutes away from Zion.
Yeah, I don't want him fighting with Zion.
If they re-sign him, man, that's basically the Lakers. Shit, they might as well call up. They might as well call up D'Angelo Russell.
Speaking of D'Angelo Russell, the Nets got to trade him to get a max other guy too.
Segue Boston. I think that's perfect for if Boston picks up D'Angelo Russell,
he would fit.
Yeah,
he would fit.
Less ego than dealing with Kyrie, so you don't have to worry about someone who's
millennials
trying to be a leader. I think he would fit with Brown and Tatum. It's more personality type fit.
You just got to take a cell phone. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, take his phone from him. Yeah, make sure get him a babysitter. But I feel like that right there, that's Brad Stevens' wheelhouse. having adding him to a replace Kyrie. Yeah, adding him to replace that Kyrie, a team that he could coach, kind of feature Hayward, even though I don't think it's a good idea, but it's probably more comfortable for Brad Stevens, but feature Hayward and kind of bounce back.
Oh, man, I forgot Hayward about Hayward. What do they do about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Boston knows they messed up with that one.
It helps with positions basketball, because I could go him, Brown,
up.
Tatum on the side.
I wouldn't say they messed up. I would say things worked out bad.
I'm talking about the contract they gave.
Yeah, the contract they gave Hayward.
That's what they messed up.
Yeah,
I don't
think.
Good luck trading
that shit. I think he was worth it when he was.
I don't think so.
No, Hayward was. Bro, people were talking about him in like top 15, top 10.
That's true, but I don't think he was worth it.
I don't know what list you're looking at, but Hayward was.
Before he got. He's a good complimentary player.
In Utah, he was good in Utah, but we've seen a lot of dudes leave Utah and not be as well. Darren Williams, Carlos Boozer, like, come on, let's be honest.
But the talent and how you performed in Utah,
it did
translate.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an all star.
Utah was a good team. He brought them to a good level.
I understand he got hurt, but that's all the more reason why. I didn't say he wasn't a good player. I'm saying the contract was bad. I think Boston messed up.
You're saying they paid him too much.
Paid him too much money.
I don't.
Why, Nick?
He ain't that dude for getting all that bread.
But he was.
How much
dude
did he get?
He got like 140.
It's about fit too.
120.
Like, if I'm reuniting him with his college coach and Brad Stevens speaking, like Brad Stevens said, his best player he ever coached.
And Kyrie, somebody who
he was at Butler. Who else he had?
And Kyrie is somebody who's a point guard, but he likes to score. And Hayward's a playmaker who likes.
He needs the ball. He wants to drive.
They both need the ball to be effective.
I thought that was a totally great move.
I'm not saying it wasn't a bad move to get him, but the paycheck was too much for me.
And then
with the emergence of Jason Tatum, where does Gordon Hayward?
But you didn't
position.
Know
that was the same problem. It was an overflux of talent.
But no one knew.
Everybody expecting to play.
You're kind of blending.
I think you're looking at it backwards. I think you're looking at it from hindsight versus like.
No, I'm saying. I said now with the emergence of Jason Tatum, where does he fit in? Because yes, you would defer.
Right. Yeah.
You
know, that is hindsight. That is hindsight.
Nobody disagrees with you that it's a bad fit now, but
right.
I think you were just trying to say that it wasn't
a bad fit when they paid him.
Because nobody saw Jason Tatum coming. Yeah. That's his point. Nobody saw Jason Tatum coming the way he came.
At the time he came, I didn't think it was a bad fit. I just thought, damn, they paid him too much. But now that you're seeing the fruits of all that, it's even worse.
And I keep giving Brad Stevens credit because I think he's that good of a coach. But if I put Hayward and I put Brown and I put Tatum out there, I got three guys at about the same size that can do three different things. One can be a playmaker, one can be a scorer, one can play defense. All I need is two bookends to that, right? Really?
Well, you need
That's all I need for a good starting five.
Who's your point now?
I don't know the bookends yet. Terry Rozier still.
D'Angelo.
Yeah, like you said, if I get D'Angelo Russell to bookend on one end, if I can sign a Brooke Lopez?
Nah. But D'Angelo's a scorer,
I would say
too.
They need to keep Hayward.
Horford.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
He's not resigning.
That's something that nobody's talking about.
He a free agent?
Is what he can opt out.
He can opt out.
He can opt out.
He can opt in for $31 million.
$30 million.
He ain't getting that on the market. Out.
Yeah, but
he may go four for 100, though.
But he could kill and Al Smart. Al could really kill his value if he opts in. Boston underperforms again. Then he's a year older from when he's signing his contract.
Is he a free agent next year?
Boston underperforms.
Yeah, he can opt out now.
Yeah.
But who's getting the blame for that? That's not Horford. Everybody
That's
loves
the coach.
Everybody
but
do it love would Horford. Be, but he's going to be a year
be,
older.
It would be the blame. It would be the year older.
But the year they didn't have their best two stars, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, I get. That's why I said I give Brad Stevens credit. But at the same time, like, I think Horford should. Because you said a four-year, $100 million contract.
Yeah, I think he can get that on the market.
But in 1 year, you can get 80% of that contract with $31 million.
I got to play three more years, though. Them four for 100 are guaranteed. So even if I don't play three more years, still got that in the bank.
He might look at it. Yeah, and he has had injuries before. So if he's
not
somebody,
lately.
And he's not getting any younger.
Exactly. So at this age, I feel like security.
You want security.
Yeah. I take the $100 million.
I understand.
Yeah, that's really all it is.
So I looked up, went to New Orleans. So their projected lineup is Ball, Holiday, Ingram, Williamson, and Okafor.
Oh, my God.
Okafor.
Okafor can play, man.
He can play, but I just forgot about him.
Yeah, he can pick up a basketball, put it in a hoop,
If we get Coach K to coach that team, then we good. Like, that's a whole new starting lineup right there.
Oh, yeah, because their head coach is what,
and
Monty Williams?
Apparently the Pelicans
is not a bad coach.
No, he's not. All them from Duke.
He's a neutral coach to me.
And apparently the Pelicans love getting Lonzo Ball in the trade.
Really?
Now.
Okay.
Of course.
It probably changed.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, now that he's here, you got to be like, oh, yeah, you're cool. Yeah, you know?
That just means the trademark is not that hot.
This is an arranged marriage, so everybody going to play nice until, you know, somebody.
Until shit go down. Yeah. Until they start losing.
I don't think they go hear much from his dad.
That's
though.
The one
he
thing.
Did you hear the clip already?
But he's talking about the Lakers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will preface this by saying I am Alonzo Ball, excuse me, Ball family apologist. So I do, I like the dad. I like his position, though he does go overboard sometimes. Can't gear it up on me. I feel like this is going to be one of those topics.
This is going to be one of those.
So, no, I mean, I'm with you. And I've fiercely defending the Ken, so I'm ready for you. But I just love the perspective that Lonzo Ball was
LeVar,
thank you. LeVar Ball gives, and just like how he loves his kids. Like, I don't see that enough in athletics, especially with black fathers. And I love that
aspect.
Yeah, and I feel like that LeVar is doing it, people want to pick on it just because he's outspoken. And you can have outspoken parents from other genres or other nationalities, and we don't get picked on that way. But I think he's getting picked on just because of his personality, and I don't think it's fair.
I mean,
but I like him though.
I agree. Like, my dad said that to me one time. Like, they said they tried to do the same thing with Serena and Venus's father.
Exactly.
And he was kind of the same way talking about his girls.
And
he
was outspoken. Right.
And they're great players, and obviously. But people want to see Lonzo fail because they want to see LeVar fail.
Exactly.
Because, and that's what bothers people about the whole situation, is just like LeVar sometimes, and you know, people don't really, when you brag the way about your kid or whatever like that, it makes other people feel insecure a lot of the times, and people don't have that kind of confidence in whatever.
And here's my argument about that, and you hear it a lot in mainstream media, and like, even if you got Game of Thrones fans or whatever it may be, here's my argument for that. People are embedded in legacy. Like, people talk about legacy all the time. They want this and they want that. All LeVar is doing is trying to instill that what he's built is successful. He's putting it out there in the world, in my opinion. And he may go about that in a way that I wouldn't do it if it were my son, but he did build this. Like, it started with him averaging 2 or 3 points a game in college and being able to apply everything that he learned to his sons. And I just love the way that he's there and he doesn't back down and he promotes his kids regardless of what people say. Because it is about legacy. And for people to say, oh, he's living through his son, that's his creation. Like, he put the ball in his hand, and I don't see anything wrong with it.
Ken. Yes,
I like an older perspective on this.
I definitely started out that way. You know, I love the fact that he was definitely there for his son, a la Richard Williams, right? Except that Serena and Venus actually did turn out to be great.
That's true.
The jury's still out.
We still got Melo.
The jury's still out.
We still got Melo out here. So
yeah. The jury's still out. On Lonzo and Melo, so I'm not gonna cross them off yet. and as a black father, and a father of two boys, I was all for it. But LeVar Ball is a con artist, and I hate to do that to the brother. I really do, but I think people got so caught up in the antics and things he was saying that he all of a sudden became somewhat minstrelly. He became a show that people love to put on TV because of him going out and saying, my son's better than
LeBron. Or him saying LeBron that he would James, be, yeah. saying that he would be Michael Jordan, Jordan in a one-on-one game. That was what blew him up.
So LeVar started to hurt himself and us and the positive things that came from it, because he started to venture a little bit into the cooning part of it, because he's going to get out there and start saying crazy stuff. So he was great, but he couldn't dial it down. Mm. So he hyped up his son, which was great, got him to the Lakers, and Lonzo didn't live up to the bill. But he hoodwinked Magic, Palinka, what's the owner?
Genie Bus.
Then he came out and said, I'm going to sell these shoes, big baller brand and everything else. So he's running his business through his kids, which he manufactured because he went out and found a 5'10 woman to marry to get his kids up to the height that they were.
It's true.
But they probably going to be tall anyway.
So he's a little bit of, because his dad was big.
Yeah.
But he still needed the woman to complete
To ensure.
Genetics. So, he had to get them genetics.
Right. So he creates Big Baller Brand in these shoes that he put at a high price. Again, I'm supporting him because you're creating a business you're trying to create a foundation and the infrastructure.
Right.
And you're trying to move forward. And a lot of people are watching you and pulling from it. But then you're not delivering on the shoes. Mm. And then you overreact, and instead of holding your kids accountable for what they did overseas,
make excuses for them.
You pull them out and you send them overseas, and you hype and oversell that his league turned out to be a mess and fell apart. And then when that went against him, what did he do? He ran from that. So now all of a sudden, you're not being responsible.
You're right.
So now you come back and back to America and you bring your kids with them. And then, and you took away the scholarship that he could. So now you took away a college opportunity for your kids to be a showcase. So they were a showcase in this league, this farce league that you created. You're paying these kids crap. They're not playing real basketball. So that fell apart. Big Baller Brand fell apart. Lonzo fell apart. This league fell apart. So then you come back on and then you start saying private information publicly. And then I had to argue with FIFO and Nick about this because they were giving him credit for saying that he was a prophet because he said a lot of things came true.
What came true? The Lakers thing?
Yeah,
his
Lakers.
Shit, it seemed like the Lakers probably felt like they had to draft the most.
One thing came true. Yeah. My son is going to play for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, what else he said, Nick? The rest of my boys are going to play for the Lakers.
Yeah, and they almost did. They'll win championships.
They almost did, but they didn't. So that didn't come true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now his son is gone. So where was the prophecy of that?
The way you walk down the timeline almost has me ready to come over to your side because I totally understand what you're saying. And my issue and the reason I think that he's had this backlash is I'll compare it to hip hop and one of the personalities that I have the most trouble with, yet I still like them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Rick Ross. And my feeling is that he can never cut it off. I can watch a Breakfast Club interview, listen to a podcast. I never get to hear William Roberts. I never get to hear the guy say that, you know what? I wrote for 10 years before I had my first single, Hustling. I didn't meet Pablo or Noriega or any of that stuff. He never cuts it off.
I was a correctional officer.
Right. Like he has to live up to that persona in which he's built. And now he doesn't feel comfortable just being himself.
Right.
And I translate that to LeVar. To what you're saying, I feel like that now we're in a point where he's trying to be this prophet. Mm-hmm. He's trying to be this person in which, oh man, my sons are going to do this and say these outlandish things where I can beat Michael Jordan, as opposed to sometimes you can play it up for the media. When I go talk to Skip or I go talk to Colin Cowherd, do that. It's fine because that's what they expect out of you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We never got him talking to Jamel Hill, Michael Smith, Bomani Jones, and keeping it real with us. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's your problem with him, and I totally see that now. Like, as a father, how you're speaking, he never was able to say, yeah, the antics, they may have gotten my guy a second pick, they may have gotten our names to be household names, but he never kept it real with us and explained, yeah, this may have failed, this is the reason why I failed, yeah, I had this problem that happened with my business partner, and this is where it left us. We never were able to get that insight of him, and I feel like that's why he leaves a lot of con artists bad taste. In people's mouths. So I agree with you on that.
At the same time, some of this stuff is still cooking, though, right? We still don't know what Lonzo's still in his rookie deal.
True, but that didn't hold him from, like, Lonzo not being the second pick didn't keep him from saying Lonzo's going to be the second pick. So other stuff was cooking, too.
His projections can still come true. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
As far as the business end of it, again, that's still a lot of businesses don't fulfill on certain orders. A lot of businesses,
Let me stop you right there. You know what the difference between a good business and a bad business is, though, is the communication part. If you're not going to fulfill on my order, send me an email. Let me know what's going on and when I can expect it. Ken brought up a great point about him running and hiding. A big thing for me in life in general is communication. Mm-hmm. I don't care necessarily in business or whatever it may be that we didn't see eye to eye or maybe we weren't on the same page, business didn't work out. But at least you respect me enough to tell me, like, bro, I'm just not going to be able to do what I said I would be able to do. Or because of this, that, and the third change,
for sure,
I can't fulfill my end of the bargain. So I'm letting you know as a man. We don't get that from him. So he comes off like a con
guy. But he's a small business owner. So he has to go through these. Like, should I crush him at every mistake that he makes?
But he's made multiple.
Bro, it's like, Nick, all of us do podcasts. You can't tell your fans for 2 weeks straight that you're not dropping and just not say anything, right? Like, you can't just go absent for 2 weeks and not put anything on your feed without people saying, that's bad business. They're not going to kill you for every time that you do that, but they're gonna, it's going to be in your head. And I feel like what he's done is magnified because we never get that personable aspect of it. Because
he can't turn it off, which
he can't turn it off.
Right, right.
So that's why I feel like we're in this place where, like, do we like him? Do we not? Is he kind to us? Like, what's the real story? Yeah. And we don't get that. So.
And now his son is gone from L.A., and who's going
to
talk about
it? Now who wants to hear it? Yeah, exactly. Now he's missed the opportunity to even talk about it.
So. Yeah, and then you look at his like his media appearances started to dry up.
Mm-hmm.
Skip brought him up, but the things he was saying were not hitting anymore.
Right.
You
don't get the clips no more of LeVar Ball was on First Take. Yep. The walkout with the
first
George Jefferson walkout.
Back. Back at all.
And I thought that I thought he actually took a step back purposefully to allow just, you've already said enough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying at this point. I thought he took a step back within himself, but now
they
that you're saying
calling.
Like they weren't calling him. If they had been calling, he still would have been running his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and you look at Undisputed and Colin Cowherd, man, they bring them on for clickbait.
Yeah, they love it's essentially like you said, a minstrel show. They're bringing him in to be made fun of.
Yeah.
Especially
like,
with
Colin
a personality with Stephen A and Shannon Sharp. That's a tandem for great television.
Yeah, because Shannon be on there cooning.
Oh my
I don't think so.
He is a little bit.
He plays into a certain character.
But the fact that he went up there and he still talks and stands for us, and he talked about real shit when the Colin Kaepernick thing came out.
I prefer him over Stephen A.
I do too.
Just as a black man, from a perspective, Shannon. Yeah,
I think Shannon keep it real.
I think Shannon keep it more real.
He does.
I think Shannon keep it more real.
Did Stephen A. gets into this thing where he's holier than thou? Like when he talk about the whole.
He be soft shoeing sometimes
off the
too.
Weed, like bro. Like,
Steve be soft shoeing sometimes.
Yeah, like
Steve
I feel like that he does that because just of where he is. But that's a whole other conversation.
I was gonna say, but at the same time, there was a big difference between CBS Shannon Sharp and Undisputed.
Oh yeah, the Sunday morning Shannon Sport. That ain't the black and mild.
NFL,
Hennessy,
you know,
like that ain't the same.
I
dude.
Remember the NFL football CBS Shannon Sharp.
Well, I'm too young to remember that.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
That's what I'm saying. He just started.
How was he on? I didn't watch. So
he was on NFL CBS in the morning.
He was not doing any.
He was clean.
But how do we know this might be the real him?
He was Michael Strahan on CBS. That's exactly.
Oh,
what he was.
So it ain't that big. Just kind of that formal, kind of just monotone, play by the book kind of thing.
Yeah, in defense of Shannon, once he came over there with the black and mild and the liquor, and it played out in Twitter.
Because that shocked me. I knew he was country, but I'm like, you gonna do all this?
I couldn't believe he was on there with the black and the
hand with the durag.
You know what else? And you know what else made me think that he? I still disagree that he is that. But like when they called out that Bengals coach. What's the Bengals coach name?
Marvin Lewis.
And they said, okay, him and I think it was Rob Parker was on there that episode. And
they said that.
I don't like Rob Parker either. But I'm not saying he's that either. But I'm saying that coach when they both him and Rob Parker agreed that coach was cooning, and then Shannon said it's that other C word that he doing. So it lets me know that Shannon is conscious of how he might be perceived and how like I think him just doing with the Hennessy and the black and miles, I truthfully just think that whether
character.
Y'all think it's cooning or not, it is entertainment, but I think that's just him.
Well, you know,
still.
And you gotta do that almost to compete with a Skip. Like Skip's so outrageous.
Skip's
so,
but they have to be that way. Skip is the total opposite for that reason.
It's not about that. It's about competing with ESPN.
That's over. But
he is the epitome opposite of Stephen A.
Yeah, you can be doing something and you can be doing something and not be something, right?
True.
So, you know, Shannon.
That's a good point. He's not a coon.
And not be it. And the reason why I say that is because, like I said, when that stuff went viral on social media and Twitter and got posted everywhere, Shannon was like, I love the attention.
Yes.
So he started just doubling down on it over and over and over again. And it's more about him just wanting to go viral and less about him just, you know, trying to do this for the sake of doing it. So that's kind of how I look at it. With Stephen A. Smith, I think he's more of a centrist, right? So I think he plays
objectivity. He's a lot of more objective.
I ain't gonna lie. I would, and as we usually do, and sorry to exclude you in this conversation, Chris, but we expect some sort of favoritism as black people. Mm-hmm. And Stephen A. Smith, like you said, he right down the middle. He don't do it. He does not do it. And sometimes that kind of hits the wrong.
And it does. And he ain't gonna mess up his money.
Exactly.
But
Steve Harvey,
the same way. Yes. I think Steve Harvey and Stephen A. Smith are the same.
And Stephen A. Smith was for a while, and while I used to. while I watched the show, because he was very pro-black and, mm-hmm. and started to, you know, comment on these stuff. And then something happened. I think he kind of I think it was the weed thing.
He was talking about the women.
Yeah, no, he was like, okay, you talking about the NFL players?
No, it wasn't the woman. He said something that kind of went against like the conversation of Black America. And
I thought it was him criticizing people for smoking weed.
That's probably part of it.
I thought the other thing was that he was criticizing somebody for, like, he said it was a lot of things where he was like, okay, like, out of all the men who have been accused of abuse in the NFL, he said two of them are white.
Oh, you guys know what it was? It was the black on black crime thing.
Yeah, it was that.
Yeah, he was like, we can't complain about the white people if it's black on, it was black on black crime.
So, yeah, and I just,
he
did.
So here's, so he lost a lot of people. So here's what happened with that. Stephen A got a talking to. Mm-hmm. Somebody called him and broke it down. And I think he even said, he didn't say who, but I think he said he got a few phone calls because he came on and he tried to explain his position. But once somebody broke and talked to him about that, he's been back with us now.
I think we all would like want more announcers like Jamele Hill, Bomani Jones.
Keep it real, but they kept it too real and got their ass fired.
That's the thing, keep it real.
She left. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we all know that keeping it real don't pay the bills. So, like, that's why you see certain people, you know, sports analysts say things and may not say things about
it
certain
can pay
subjects.
The bills depending on where you go.
That's what I was gonna say. Oh. It's something that, like, keeping it real can pay the bills, but it seems like those in control only allow a certain
so real that you can keep
it.
There's only so many people that could keep it real.
Yeah.
And commercial. It's like the same thing in hip hop, right? Yeah. Like how many people can be lyrically or can be conscious and sell a lot of records? I feel like it's like this same principle that, like, those that are in control are like, okay, well, we're only allowed, like, you only get one Kendrick.
Well,
you only
get one. Well, it's also turned on your
those are gatekeepers.
Off your
even, you're talking even about gatekeepers. Those are gatekeepers.
Like, to the point of, yeah.
I would make it to a point like with Joe Budden. The reason that he, in my opinion, stopped rapping was not because he didn't have a passion to do it anymore. It's because I can't sit here and say these things on my podcast, which is a better stream for me right now, if I continue to rap, because it puts me in a different category. So with Jemele Hill, it's like I can't tweet that Trump is a racist if I want to do SportsCenter. Mm-hmm. So you got to pick and choose which one it is you want
to
do.
There's always a compromise we have to make. There's always a compromise that we have to make.
Exactly.
But she won't go to the Atlantic.
Exactly, and do what she needs to do. She has the name of her podcast, have y'all heard it?
Uninterrupted.
I think that's it.
No, it's
Unbothered or something like that.
Unbothered. I heard about that.
She has great interviews. One with T.I., Killer Mike, Soledad O'Brien from CNN.
Charles Barkley,
Don Lemon. Don Lemon's was really good.
So she's doing very well for herself. Like, she's doing very well.
Man,
for
she has five or six interviews.
I've always been iffy on Don Lemon.
Me too. And that was part of it. So I wasn't even going to listen to it. And I was like, yeah, when Trump got in office, he was going in. So let me get some more behind him. And she did a great job of, like, letting Don Lemon talk and letting him get his perspective out there. And now I look at him totally different. I'm like, oh, he really like a with us.
Man, so, I feel like, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, we're
going to be able to talk all day.
Right. Last thoughts on the Lakers trade with the Pelicans, you know,
championship 2020.
Who's going to come next?
I'm going to tell you.
What are they going to do with that with that max money?
Do you think they're good?
I think that's the biggest thing.
Do you think
thing.
Regardless of what they do moving forward, they're going to be good? Because of this deal?
To answer the question, yes. And I think they're going to – I'm keeping my eye on two things. I think just one. Kyrie Irving, because I'm just looking here. It says Kyrie has wanted to play with AD for months. I'm not tossing that aside.
Yep.
Me neither.
I'm tossing all that aside.
I think these things don't get leaked.
When in today's day and age, things get leaked intentionally. When information gets out there, it's because one side or another.
But there's been so much of the same thing. We saw that video clip of Kyrie and KD behind, like, after the All-Star game. Earlier last summer, they were talking about Kyrie and Jimmy Butler are thinking about going to New York. It's like, okay, everybody's
maybe that was though before Kyrie was like, hey, I could play with AD instead of Jimmy.
And things changed. There was a report that said they have talked during the season,
right?
AD and Kyrie about playing. So I'm not saying it's gonna happen, you know, because I don't think it will. I'm just paying attention to it because I think there's something to it. but it's probably unlikely because I think his dad may talk him out of it.
To me, if I'm the Lakers, I would only get two players for that third slot. I would either get Kyrie or Jimmy. If you can't get either one of those, assuming Kawhi's out, but if you can't get Kyrie or Jimmy, fill out the rest of the roster around.
Yeah, me too.
And last thing, there was another report that said they are going to go after Kawhi next. They are expressing interest in Kawhi Leonard.
Everybody's expressing.
Lakers plan to pursue.
He just won a championship.
Yeah, Lakers plan to pursue Kawhi after AD trade. So they're gonna try. Not saying he's gonna get it,
right?
But you gotta try.
There's only one thing I'm really looking at as far as the Lakers. Who plays point? I think whoever plays point decides if they're going to go to the Western Conference Finals or go to the East LeBron. Or to the Finals. Or
right,
well, I mean, to me, point guard, especially in the West, that's a big thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they need very solid guard.
That's going to wear them out.
No matter if they fill out the roster with a third max or with just other players, whoever plays points will define what
or defense points.
And Kemba is a target there.
Kemba will fit well.
A couple of other things, just real quick, that are notable.
I don't know about Kemba versus.
Nobody was willing to offer what the Lakers did for AD.
Yep.
Thank you, Knicks, by the way. Appreciate
they
you.
Messed
trade.
Up.
No, they didn't.
And the AD trade was the Lakers' only chance at a star.
Yeah, because nobody was coming for your agent.
I was saying that for a year straight, too.
Yeah. Upper office, then why I want to do it?
That's what I'm saying. The front office is something that people, especially with that, y'all talking about Western Conference Finals, that coaching staff is going to be in a, it's going to be a shit
Jason
show.
Kidd should have that job by the All-Star.
Exactly. You got Frank Vogel, Jason Kidd, and who else did they get on there as well? Lionel Hollins?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, though. When's the last time LeBron was successful without chaos around the organization?
Good point.
It's his whole career.
It comes with him.
He had a quote last year. I thrive on chaos. And now, I don't like that because I don't like that because I don't think every player thrives in chaos. I think LeBron's
an
exception.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think you're detrimental. You're bringing a detriment to your team. But that being said, LeBron has clearly proven time and time again under chaos, and we all know LeBron's running the league.
Chaos is a ladder.
Last year, he said he's not.
He said he's pissed off that people think that. He said he's pissed off people think he's just pulling all the strings behind LA and he's doing all these things.
He wasn't.
He said he's not. He said, I'm sitting back. He said that on the Shop, his show. He said, I'm sitting back.
Of course he's going to say
that's,
that.
That's the media.
But, you know,
But my thing is this, like, chaos happened last year. And you saw how that affected his teammates, to your point, as far as he may thrive in it. But his teammates.
Right, they're gone.
Look at AD. I don't think AD liked the fact that he was known as a villain throughout this whole, the latter half of this season.
Yeah.
And that could be effective, too. And then whoever's that third star, they have to understand the world they're going into.
I don't think it's gonna
affect
them. A
championship world.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna affect them because he wanted to go to LA. So, and I think when people say that was their chance at getting a free agent, I think we got to look at the cream of the crop. So the guys that were available probably didn't want to go there, but we know that next year AD did.
Yeah,
so there was a guy that did want to go play.
Those are not top tier guys though. That's
AD is a top tier guy.
AD's top tier.
I'm talking about as far as to get in a core free agent, probably nobody wanted to go there.
Right, but there were people that wanted to be there.
Right, and AD was one.
Yeah.
All right.
And they got him, so,
gotcha.
Championship.
Anyway, man, that's going to do it for us, man. We appreciate Spike Lou joining us.
It was a great time. I appreciate it. On Deck TV Podcast. Definitely appreciate you guys. Finally got to talk some sports. I want to do this again soon.
Yeah, man. And Chris Blatty from
Strictly Hip Hop and Strictly Hootah. I was going to let you try to do it.
And Ramil from
The Low Mid Podcast. Please check us out, you dig?
All right, so that's going to do it for us, man. We'll catch you guys next time. We
appreciate it.
Peace.